जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिव राधारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिव राधारी, यशोदा नंदना व्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना व्रज जन रंजना, जमुना चीरावन छारी, यमुना चीरावन छारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना व्रज जन रंजना, जामुना चीरा वनछारी, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, त्रिनादपि सुनिचेना चरौरिवा सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेना कीर्तनीय सदा हरि, हरे नाम हरे नाम हरे नाम एव केवलम, कलो नास्त्येव 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 गतिर् अन्यथा. In the common world that we all have to live in, today is Fool's Day. And the concept of being a fool is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. But before we go there, when I was a young boy, 7 years old, my father, after church, we would go to Our Lady of Loreto Catholic Church every Sunday. And then after that, we would go to the bakery to get some buns and donuts. And after breakfast, my father would give a separate Bible class. My father was a preacher of his own sorts. I think I picked up something from him. And he used to read from this one book. It was like a children's Bible. And I remember one day, afterwards, there was a picture. And the picture was a man looking up at the sky, the nighttime sky with all the stars in the sky. And they were showing the back of the man. It looked like he was naked. But the man was very small, showing how big the sky and the stars nighttime. And the caption read, "Only the fool believes there is no God." And that struck me, because ever since I can remember, I've always believed in God. At the age of 5, I remember sitting on the front steps of the house. And I was thinking, yes, God is in my heart. That's not something I don't think is taught in the Baltimore Catechism that we were trained in. But all throughout my life, I always believed there was God. In the Bhagavad Gita, a fool, there are different descriptions of a fool. One definition of a fool is that he doubts the revealed scriptures. One of the qualities of a Brahmin, the last quality, astikyam. One time Prabhupada said, this is the most important quality of a Brahmana, astikyam. Full faith in the words of the spiritual master and the revealed scriptures. So, another definition of a fool is someone who does not understand that they are spirit soul. Someone who thinks, I am this body. And you see, when Krishna begins his lessons of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, the very first thing that he wants to establish is that we are soul, that we are not this body, that we are not the mind, that we are not who we think we are, man, woman, American, Indian. This is the very first thing that has to be understood. Otherwise, you cannot proceed in spiritual knowledge. This has to be understood. So a fool is someone who doesn't believe that there is God or the soul and thinks that I am simply this body and that I am simply meant to satisfy the demands of this body. In Sanskrit, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are different synonyms for a fool. Agya. No, someone who has no knowledge. Mudha is the popular one. Mudha. And in some context, it goes a little further. Fool means ass. Someone who has the consciousness of a jackass. And Krishna, there's a very powerful statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti mang mudha manushing tanam asritam. Parang bhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Krishna says there is a class of fool asses who cannot understand who I am, Krishna says. They don't understand my supreme position. Therefore, they deride me. They blaspheme me. So that's one kind of fool who out and out decries who is Krishna. And Krishna says also in Bhagavad Gita that he is never manifest to the foolish and less intelligent. Now we're not talking about material. We're not talking about that. We're talking about somebody who is so puffed up, so proud, so arrogant as to not have the capacity to accept the spiritual master, to accept the scriptures, to accept other holy persons. That is the process. The process is, as Arjuna did in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. You could say that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was foolish. And Krishna more or less said so in so many words. Because Arjuna was lamenting. Arjuna was confused, bewildered. He didn't know what his actual position was at that crucial moment. But Arjuna was not that foolish because he did say to Krishna, I'm confused, I'm bewildered, but I want you to kindly instruct me. I want you to tell me decisively what is good for me. So, there is a mantra. Oma gyanita marandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin mulitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. We're all born foolish. We're all born ignorant. That's okay. That's one thing. But we should not remain in that situation. That is the point. Atato brahma jigyasa. We are born foolish, we are born ignorant, but that's not an excuse. We should not remain. Because we have this human body, we are meant to inquire. We are meant not to remain foolish. Now, we see in human society those families who value education, they insist that their children get a good education. I have much experience with this since I do much ministry with the Indian community. It's been my experience. Indian families stress with their children, you must get a good, am I right? You Indian, you value it. Also, I've seen in the Jewish community, Dravida, you can probably testify, in the Jewish community, they very much value material education. So, as a human being, and this statement of the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, the real education, the real learning is this inquiry into the absolute truth. Prahlad Maharaj, the great boy saint, said the same thing, that we should be emphasizing. In fact, Prahlad said, when his father asked him, his father even chastised Prahlad because Prahlad believed in God. Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad was foolish, because Hiranyakashipu was confirmed, devout, pure atheist. As I've said many times, the founder acharya of atheism and gross materialism. So he chastised his son. Oh, you are foolish. But Prahlad, when Prahlad was asked by his father, so I've sent you to school, I've sent you to the best school, what are you learning? Any parent, if he's sending the child to school, wants to get a report card, wants to see, well, how's my child doing? So Hiranyakashipu, being a good parent, asked his son, so what are you learning? What's the best thing you have learned? What did Prahlad say? Oh, the best thing is hearing, chanting about God. And when Hiranyakashipu heard that word, he became furious. God? What is this nonsense? God. And Prahlad went on to say, after listing the 9 categories of pure devotional service, ending with Atmanavedanam, full surrender, Prahlad then said, Iti pung sarpita vishna bhaktis chennavalakshana. Create a bhagavati adhatan manye ditam uttamam. Prahlad said, now this is a 5-year-old boy speaking to the topmost, biggest demon of all time. They don't get any better than Hiranyakashipu. Here's this 5-year-old. This Hiranyakashipu had conquered the universe. All the demigods were bowing down to Hiranyakashipu. He had made an ironclad contract with Lord Brahma. Practically, virtually, he was immortal. He covered everything. He had all his I's dotted, all his T's dotted. He thought, I am immortal. And everyone, yes, Hiranyakashipu, we will, yes. Everyone was kowtowing to Hiranyakashipu. Here's this 5-year-old boy. In my opinion, this Krishna consciousness, this bhakti, this devotional service is the topmost education. And his father became furious and subsequently tried to kill him. But Prahlad's devotion, Prahlad's love of God protected him, saved him. But Prahlad's statement that these 9 processes of bhakti, this is the topmost education, and these temples of Srila Prabhupada are learning institutions on this track of the topmost knowledge. These temples are not just places where we ring the bell, wave our hands, all right, well, goodbye, walk out the door. No. These are supposed to be learning institutions. That's why Prabhupada insisted there must be morning class, there must be evening class. These are learning institutions. And I would just earlier this week, I was listening to some lectures. Actually, there were arrival lectures that Prabhupada had given when he would come to a place for the first time after a long time. And Prabhupada is pointing out in one lecture how it is very, very important to learn this science of bhakti, the science of Bhagavad Gita, for 2 purposes. One is to protect yourself from the onslaught of atheism, materialism. Because this is the age of Kali. The whole atmosphere is surcharged with atheism and materialism. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, it's just 24/7 an onslaught. You're driving, you're listening to the radio, you're turning on the television, wave after wave after wave, constant bombardment of materialism and atheism. So we study Bhagavad Gita just to be able to protect ourselves from this influence. And this influence of materialism and atheism is going on so much we don't really realize how contaminated we get. We don't realize it. That's why for many of you, coming to the temple once or twice a week, if you don't do that, you are finished. You have to come and clean out your mind and get all that propaganda out of you. So we come and we listen to the kirtan. We see the deity. That is all purging all of the negativity and gross materialism and atheism that is constantly bombarding. Because this process, Lord Chaitanya says, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. The first order of business, cleanse the mind, cleanse the heart. That's the first order of business. And we do that because of the nine items of bhakti, the first two are the most important, hearing and chanting. This, you cannot do too much hearing and chanting about Krishna. How do you know you've done too much? You become like this. You become so happy. And how else do you know that you're doing too much hearing and chanting? You can't stop. That's how you know. Sometimes the question is asked, Prabhu, no, you tell me to do all these things. How do I know when I have achieved perfection? Oh, that's easy. You know that you achieve perfection because you don't want to stop. You like it too much. Yes, Prabhupada told the great John Lennon. When John Lennon asked Prabhupada, so, how do I know who is the guru? Because back then, late 60s, everybody was wondering, is this guy the guru? Is this guy, what about this 15-year-old Indian kid? Is he the guru? Or what about this one's got a big beard, maybe? So there was confusion, because every other week there was a new guru pop star coming up. Oh, that's the guru. So everybody was trying to... So John Lennon asked Prabhupada, how do I know who's the guru? Prabhupada said, oh, find that person most addicted to Krishna. Brilliant answer. Because at that time, John Lennon was addicted to, besides Yoko Ono, heroin. So Prabhupada was very clever. Find the person most addicted to Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya approached his spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya went to his spiritual master, and his spiritual master said, you're a fool. Yes. But that's very instructive, because I even said earlier that we're all born foolish, ignorant. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master told him, you simply chant Hare Krishna. That's it. Simply chant. So let's all chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And simply by Lord Chaitanya executing the order of his spiritual master, he achieved complete perfection. But something I always mention in this connection is that when Lord Chaitanya did what his guru said, he simply chanted Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya started to experience the eight kinds of bodily transformations signifying complete spiritual ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya had a doubt. He was thinking, am I doing something wrong? So Lord Chaitanya went back to his guru. That's very instructive. As soon as there is a doubt in spiritual life, one must consult his spiritual master. So Lord Chaitanya went and said, you told me just to chant Hare Krishna. I did that, but these things are happening. Am I doing something wrong? Spiritual master said, no. But his spiritual master said, even though you have achieved perfection in chanting, he still gave him three more instructions. You would think, hey, I achieved perfection. Let's go to Hawaii. Come on. You achieve perfection. You know, when they win the Super Bowl, right? They say, I'm going to Disneyland, man. So here's Lord Chaitanya. He has achieved complete spiritual perfection. His guru says, okay, now I give you three more instructions. So now everybody's thinking, gee, I don't know if I want to take a guru. I mean, all I'm going to do is get instructions. And so his spiritual master said, go on chanting. That. Not that I'm chanting to reach a certain goal and then my business. No. Go on chanting in the association of devotees. Why did Prabhupada create these temples? To make money? I asked Badri, we don't make money. No, these temples are so that we have association. We're not doing this on our own. We are associating with each other. Every time I come here, I spend quality time with my good friend Dravida Das. And that takes care of me till the next visit. We have nice discussions. So we are meant to execute Krishna consciousness together. It's a big family. We are Achyuta Gotra. We are family of Krishna. So this temple is our place where we come together. Then the third instruction his spiritual master gave him. Now you go and preach the value of this holy name of Krishna. And we are all meant to do that as well. We are meant to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. We are meant to associate with each other and as much as possible. Because after all, what is the name of our movement? The Hare Krishna movement. Our magazine is called Back to Godhead. I love that. Especially the word back. Because there's sometimes confusion. And I always say back means you were once there, you're going back. Pretty simple, right? Anybody have any confusion about that? Back to Godhead. So that means we were there and we're going to go back. Many of you are from India, yes? So sometimes you say, Prabhu, I'm going back to India. I can't say that. I can say, I'm going back to New York. Forget about it. I cannot go back to some place I never was. I can't say I'm going back to Australia. I never was in Australia. You can only go back to some place where you were. So Godhead means the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Krishna. But underneath the title of the magazine, Back to Godhead, what does it say? I hope it still says it. The magazine of the Hare Krishna movement. Does it still say that? Okay, thank you. I brought the bell, Budgie. Okay, I knew you were. So, thank you very much. The magazine of the... So, we are the movement for promulgating this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is our primary function. That's why every time I give a lecture, I always chant that mantra. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva Gatir Anyata. Because the process in this age of Kali, if you don't want to be a fool, the best way not to be a fool is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Yes, you should read Bhagavad Gita every day. And besides reading Bhagavad Gita to keep yourself from being foolish, you should chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everybody, one time together. Throughout my life, I've had my ups and downs. I've been many times between a rock and a hard place. Many, even as a devotee, maybe even more so. My back's against the wall. So over the years, after mistake after mistake after mistake, it dawned on me. I said to myself, Narantaram, you know what your problem is? You are ignorant. You're foolish, Narantara. So at some point, I resolved, I am going to learn this philosophy. I'm tired of being a fool. This is April Fool's Day, so every year I remind myself, yes, don't be a fool. Don't be a sucker for Maya. Don't be, right? What is that? A sucker is born, what is that? P.T. Barnum? Yes. I said to myself, your biggest problem is you don't have proper knowledge. So whenever that was, I don't know how long ago that was, but I decided I am going to learn these books of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada himself writes, just try to learn four books. Just four books. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Just learn these four books. Prabhupada says it's sufficient. So every year, I read the entire Bhagavad Gita every year. And Prabhupada was mentioning how Bhagavad Gita is so important. And on Gaur Purnima time, I was in Santiago, Chile. I go every year to Santiago for Gaur Purnima. And in one class, I was telling everybody that the basis of all preaching is Bhagavad Gita. That you'll see in Prabhupada's books, right? He's writing his purports. Bhagavad Gita is quoted over and over and over. And yes, just the other day I was listening to one of those arrival address lectures. Prabhupada said, all questions can be answered by Bhagavad Gita. So every year I read the entire Bhagavad Gita. I study Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the year, Nectar of Devotion, and I do a class a couple of times a month on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So as Dravida said, I joined this, he said 40 years, I joined in 73, so not quite 40 years. Close enough, give or take a few. Yes, very good. So, yes, that's right. Very good. Your math is better than mine. I've been studying these four books and I just loop it over and over and over again. So that I want to get to the point where every inch of my body is something of Prabhupada's books permeating out. And of course, I want to come to the stage where I'm 24/7 chanting this wonderful, delicious Maha Mantra. Can we all chant it one more time?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. So, I'm a fool, that's all right, but I should not remain a fool. I should hear and chant so that I become learned and wise and Krishna conscious. Now, Ishta Gosti, questions. The floor is open. I will defer to Badri as he is one of the main reasons why I come here. No. All right, Dravida.
Yeah.
Krishna comes in all these forms. I'm going to answer this question a couple of ways, so bear with me. Something I like to say many times, Krishna is cool. Krishna blows your mind. Krishna appears. See, we have this word, achintya. If God is not achintya, if he's not inconceivable, then he's not God. I believe it's Jiva Goswami who points out that this concept of achintya shakti is very, very vital to understanding God. If your definition of God does not include inconceivable potency, then your understanding or definition of God is defective. God has to be that person who can do the impossible. Prabhupada was challenged. Can God make a rock so heavy that he can't lift it? Right? The devil's challenge. Prabhupada said, of course. But then the next minute he expands and he lifts it. Jai. So, he does this to show how he has this and another reason. For instance, Lord Varaha. Sometimes the form is there according to with the particular need. The earth had fallen to the bottom of the Garbhodaka ocean. So he came as Lord Boar, and Prabhupada even mentioned. And Lord Boar had tusks and an appropriate snout. And he scooped Mother Earth. Right? You just celebrated yesterday the appearance of Lord Ram. Right? So, Ram is one of the human-like. So why he came as Lord Ram? Well, one answer is to show the ideal perfection of a human being. Not that he's a human being, but he's coming in that role. So these different forms are simply, that's why I've said many times, Krishna should get the greatest actor lifetime achievement award at the Oscars. What has he not done? He plays these, and I'm pretty sure there's that verse in the first canto. First, he assumes roles. Talk about role playing. Krishna is playing different roles. Another reason is he assumes these different forms so that we'll have something good to talk about. These pastimes are so fascinating that they consume our whole mental activities if you really start to get into it. Just like yesterday, weren't you all yesterday totally absorbed in Ram Leela? Were you not thinking about Ram all day? That's the idea. So, is that good enough? Also, Krishna wants to, there are 8,400,000 species of life, so you gotta have the aquatic, you gotta have, all the different things covered. And you even got half man, half lion. You've even got that one going on. Alright, Bhadra, you got your question?
Thank you.
Okay, you gave the example of the lottery. You know, we have a mutual friend, Archita Das, right? Okay. He often points out that there's been a study done, and more often than not, people who win the lottery eventually wind up penniless. And he gives the story of a particular person who won the lottery twice and is penniless. Now, let's answer your question from a different angle of vision. Okay? So yes, the argument it can be made. Well, that's for you. You know, you're a loser. But I am, you know, living nicely. But you got one problem. It's called death. And you may think that everything is wonderful. I always like to give the example, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. When Yamaraj comes knocking, how much can they take with them? Can they bribe? No. And according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, they may say, right? They may say everything's good, but there are four problems: birth, death, old age, and disease. Anybody can say, I don't get sick. I don't think so. And nobody is going to say, I don't get old. So we may say, oh, I don't need Krishna consciousness. I'm happy. For how long? How long? Your day is going to come. In fact, just when I was in Santiago, I revisited a certain section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the subterranean heavenly planets. You know that section in the fifth canto? So, when you read these descriptions of these planets, it's actually better than heaven. Because they have no anxieties, they don't get old. There's only one problem for the people in the subterranean heavenly planets. The Sudarshan Chakra comes at the end and it's like finished. So that's called fool's paradise. That's a fool's paradise. He thinks everything's great. That's all right. You will get sick one day. And you're going to get old, right? We've seen so many Hollywood starlets. They're frantic, right? Because the wrinkles are setting in and the beautiful physique is now drooping. And you can take so many injections, but after a while, it ain't happening no more. You're old. Yes. That's all I got to say about that. Yes. To teach us, if he doesn't do it, then everybody will say, well, Krishna didn't do it, why should I? So, same with Ram. The whole Ram Leela is to teach us how we should be. So, this is very, very instructive. In form of Krishna, certain aspects of Krishna's Leela is to show that he's God. But other aspects of Krishna's Leela is to show us the way. Then my favorite story. When Krishna is living in Dwaraka, with only, 16,108 wives only. The description is there, he's being embraced by the goddess of fortune. Alright, he's sleeping peacefully, embraced by the goddess of fortune. But before the sun rises, when the rooster crows, Krishna gets up and begins his sadhana. Why? To teach us. You follow? So there are many aspects of Ram, well, all of Ram Leela is to teach. But in Krishna Leela, so many aspects, Krishna is showing us you do like I do. Your question. The pleasure is all mine. Oh, yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Yes, sir. That's right. Okay. You have free will. It could happen again. But do you believe Krishna? Okay, I believe Krishna. Krishna says you don't. Now, I've always given this example. When I was 5 years old, I took a pencil. I stuck it in the electric shock. My mother came and got me. Now, could I do that again? You think I will? Uh-uh, buddy. So, that's how I resolve it. Okay? The way I explain it now is, in order to get back, right? We're here now. In order to get back, you will have to come to that stage of consciousness where you are determined, I am never going to do this again. It's going to take that much resolve. So, once you make it back, and then Krishna's not a liar. Krishna, more than once he says, you don't return. I believe in Krishna. Okay? Does that help you? Good. Yes, sir, back there. Yes. Oh, of course. Well, how, you know, that's like, let's go back and we can ask him when we go back. I mean, that's like how can you answer that question? What? You know, sometimes he comes, sometimes, you know, it's like, all right, say you're the head of a company, okay? So when you're the head of a company, you've got so many employees. The employee doesn't know what the proprietor or the boss, he's not in his shoes. Or I'll give the example. You know, nobody likes a backseat driver, right? You're driving the car, and then there's a... When you're the driver, you know what has to be done, right? A husband, a man, can never imagine what it's like to give birth to a child. Ladies, am I right? There's no way the husband or any man can... I mean, I look at it and I go, no. No. So, the boss knows what has to be done. The employees have no idea. Krishna knows when he sends his devotees and when he needs to come himself. Another answer might be, Krishna has a schedule. He comes at this time, at this time, at this time. In between, all right, you guys do the work. I'm coming at these times. Is that all right? We have a few more minutes. More questions. Yes, Prabhu. Well, didn't I say I was foolish? And I quoted Bhagavad Gita, God said you were foolish. Don't shoot the messenger. Also, if you're just a little bit honest, everyone can find so many times in their life when they were foolish. That first, you know, marriage that didn't work out the way they thought. Or how about that bad investment that they made? If anyone's honest, nobody's got a squeaky clean I never made a mistake. No, we're conditioned souls. We make mistakes. We have imperfect senses. We cheat. Right? So it's just a matter of, we're not accusing anyone. We're just stating a fact. Right? When the baby comes out, he's not spouting E equals MC squared. We're born ignorant. That's true whether you're a Republican, Democrat, American. You are born ignorant. You're born foolish. All right. Now educate yourself. Okay? Jai. Dravida Das. Of course, it's open mic. Good. Yes, this is explained in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What is night for the introspective sage is the time of awakening for the uncontrolled and vice versa. Yes. Yes, Prabhu. How he becomes... Okay, you want me to explain how it is that Krishna comes as Lord Shiva? That's your question? Okay, I don't know that. This is a new one for me. But if you were going to ask me why he comes as Lord Shiva, Krishna is completely transcendental. So, when you want to see God in terms of the material energy, Lord Shiva. Now this thing about, I'd have to know, it's a new concept for me, Hari Hara, I don't know. But I do know this. Lord Brahma, the creator, explains Shambhu, Lord Shiva, as the state of yogurt. Yogurt is milk. And it's not milk. It's both. But yogurt can only be used in certain things, and milk can only be used in certain things. But they're both milk. It's just that the state is transformed. So, many, many years ago, one Indian man asked me at one program I was doing that, what is the wrong in worshiping Lord Shiva? I said, nothing. It all depends how you're approaching and how you're seeing. So I told this man, I said, you should pray to Lord Shiva. You should worship Lord Shiva that you become like him. And I said, Lord Shiva is glorified in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the greatest of the followers of Lord Vishnu. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is even the Shiva Gita, fourth canto. And Lord Shiva, verse after verse, who is he describing? Not himself. He is describing Narayan. And one time, he told his wife that I chant this name, Ra. Everyone say, I derive so much ecstasy from chanting this name, Ram. And this name of Ram is equal to 1,000 names of God. Me, I like shortcuts. I get the same benefit from one utterance of as I would spending 25, 30 minutes chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. And then we learn three Rams. Everybody say, Ram, Ram, Ram. You get the same benefit from one utterance of Krishna. Now we appreciate this Maha Mantra. It is the, as I like to say, the mantra on steroids. It's the Maha Mantra. It is the greatest. Do you have some affection for Lord Shiva? All right. So, Lord Shiva is a great devotee of God. He is very renounced. He's the most renounced. And he is always in samadhi. He's always meditating on God. So, he has his own sampradaya, the Rudra sampradaya, bona fide Vaishnava sampradaya. So, you pray to Lord Shiva. You like to pray to Lord Shiva? Oh. That's exactly what I was going to say. Pray to Lord Shiva. Take me to Krishna. Then you're great. Hari Bol. Jai. Bhadri gets the last word. We're over time. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. This temple is still, in my opinion, the best temple in North America. The best temple in South America is Santiago. But the best temple in North America, San Diego. Hari Bol.